This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. He's also a Fox News military analyst. We want to get his thoughts on two major pieces of news over the past couple of days. First of all, the confirmation from Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki and Vice President Joe Biden that U.S. and Iraqi forces have taken out the top two al-Qaeda in Iraq figures, al-Masri and al-Baghdadi. So how big of an accomplishment is that? We also want to get Captain Nash's assessment on what many have said for a long time, that's that the U.S. does not have a strong plan in the event of Iran acquiring deployable nuclear weapons. And Captain Nash, it's always great to have you with us.
Nice to be back with you, Greg.
Well, there was obviously a huge relief, even great celebrating a few years ago when we were able to take out Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. Al-Masri was his replacement, al-Baghdadi his deputy, two at the same time, joint forces working together here. How big of a headline is this?
It's a big headline. And what it says, I agree with the vice president on this, that what it really shows is that this was an Iraqi-led operation. The U.S. was in support. In fact, we lost one of our, I don't know whether it was a Navy SEAL or Army or Marine, but we lost an individual in this raid. So there was evidently quite a bit of gunplay. This was did not go down easily. Both the bad guys were killed, and I think what it shows is that there is cooperation between the United States and the Iraqi government on counterterrorism, and that the Iraqis are moving forward to take these people out. So it's good all the way around, except for the loss of our young warrior.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Captain, I had an interview in studio with an Iraq war veteran who served two tours, one when it was really not going well prior to the counterinsurgency strategy implemented by General Petraeus, and then one in 2009. And he said the difference was between night and day, and the thing that encouraged him most was the progress of the Iraqi security forces. Just how much progress do you think they've made in the last couple of years?
I think they've made significant progress, and that observation is not a random observation. I think if you talk with people, they've seen a constant increase. And what it really took was once it became clear to the Iraqi people across the board that we were not leaving, that we were staying, and the surge and all the rest of it was proof positive that we were going to stick around, that's when the tide turned.
In terms of the status of al-Qaeda in Iraq now, obviously it's a major hit for them to lose both of their leaders, but obviously after the killing of Zarqawi in 2006, they were able to regroup to a large extent. They've obviously been degraded as a result of the strategy in the last couple of years. What does this do to them now?
Well, I think it throws their leadership up in the air. The other thing is what anyone who remains in that group who seeks a leadership position might as well paint a bullseye on their forehead. That's number one. Number two, a lot of the information that led to the attack and the killing of these two bad guys was evidently intelligence that was developed by the Iraqi security forces after they captured another al-Qaeda operative several weeks ago. So anyone in the organization now has to wonder what else he said and who else he's flipped.
We're talking with retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. And, Captain, we know for a long time that Iran is the number one state sponsor of terrorism. Reports recently that they're getting closer and closer in their relationship with al-Qaeda, which surprised many given the differences between the Shia and Sunni radical elements there. But we also know that Iran is obviously aggressively pursuing nuclear weapons, and that was a major topic at the nuclear summit last week, although what was exactly agreed upon in terms of deterring that is yet to be seen. But now we hear over the weekend that the U.S. Has not had and still does not have, according to Defense Secretary Bob Gates, a real cohesive strategy for dealing with the nuclear Iran. How surprised are you by that, and what do you do to fix it?
Well, not very. I've been very critical over the years about U.S. policy toward Iran. I thought we were much too on the appeasement trail and not enough to hold them accountable and make them pay for what they're doing. They've been killing Americans in Iraq. They've been providing the weapons and the IED technology to kill Americans in Iraq and Afghanistan. They have been trying to undermine U.S. interests for a long time, starting all the way back when they took over the embassy. with the Khomeini Revolution in 79. So Iran is a very, very dangerous place. It is ruled by a very unstable regime. Now that these people appear to be getting nuclear weapons, the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, the USDIA, is a three-star by the name of Ron Burgess, and he told a Senate committee recently that he thinks the Iranians will be able to produce enough nuclear material to produce a bomb in about a year. So, you know, the clock's ticking, or whatever metaphor you want to use, the sand's falling out of the top of the hourglass, and there aren't that many grains of sand left. If we think things are bad now, wait until that regime has nuclear weapons. We haven't seen anything yet. So, you know, this whole idea of people thinking about the tactical level of things, we got to back out of this and start looking at the strategic level. And appeasement does not work with people like the Iranians. Engagement does not work with people like the Iranian regime. You've got the people of Iran who are screaming, dying in the streets, trying to overthrow that regime that is that has installed its own police force and secret. There are multiple layers of state suppression in Iran. So it's a bad regime. It's a bad place. Them with nukes, horrible thought.
And, Captain, in terms of what would work, right now Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, is saying crippling economic sanctions. Others say do what you have to do to get power and support to the people in the streets who are trying to force their own regime change. And others say, well, the only thing you have left, you have time left to do is hope that Israel succeeds in a military strike. What's the smartest way to go here?
I think the first two are absolutely imperatives, and that is the crippling sanctions, the support for the Iranian people. This is their job to do. It's their government. They put it in power. They can take it out of power. I don't see kids from Iowa with weapons going into Iran. That's a non-starter as far as I'm concerned. However, there are things we can do to leverage the extreme hatred that the Iranian people harbor toward this regime. I think we ought to be doing that. The other thing is, if we do not do something that starts to cripple that regime and make them pay for all the things that they're doing to kill Americans, to undermine peace in that region, if we don't do that, all that does is embolden them. It strengthens them. And then they repress their own people even more. So, if the world sits back and tries to engage and does nice little talks and the Iranians blow them off, what we're really doing is we're forcing the Israelis to react because they have been directly threatened by this regime. And when this regime gets nuclear weapons, at what point does one go off in Israel? So they don't have a choice. It is an existential threat communicated directly by the head of the government of Iran.
Captain, as you mentioned, time running out, regardless of what metaphor you want to use. Thank you, as always, sir, for your analysis.
My pleasure, Greg.
Retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash, Fox News military analyst. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.